Okay, and welcome back. Another hour to go here. Mitch Henderson, are you there, Mitch?
I'm going to talk about propaganda tonight. Okay?
Propaganda, a new theme.
There's a lot of propaganda going on.
Mitch, there's never been more propaganda in my lifetime, I don't think. Never.
Yeah, never. It's all propaganda.
Yeah.
So propaganda is communication that's used to influence or persuade an audience to further an agenda. The Army calls it a target audience because the propaganda is meant to persuade a specific audience of a specific agenda. We will be talking about general propaganda where everyone is the audience and the agenda is to support general social, cultural, economic, and political change that is labeled progressive. We are being bombarded with it. So how can we detect it? I think first by assessing the motive. To define the truth of the events of October 7th, Hamas attacks on Israel, we have to ask why Netanyahu had the settlements on the Gaza border disarmed at the beginning of September. Why Israel ignored warnings by Egyptian intelligence that a major attack was in the offing, and this was detailed intelligence. Why Israeli border defenses were stood down, and why it took Israel Defense Forces 7 hours to travel 3.5 miles to defend and rescue the concertgoers at the music festival of Sderot. If the goal was to justify the ethnic cleansing of all Palestinians from the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, then the attack had to be just as horrifying as possible. This had to be on the scale of America's 9/11, where Israel could demand of the world that they are either with Israel or against them. No neutrality allowed. Neutrality is anti-Semitism. Silence is violence. Anti-Semitism is racism, and racism causes global warming, as we all know. It is a bullying tactic. The Israeli forces that did respond helped massacre Israeli citizens. This information is not from Hamas. It comes from Israeli soldiers reporting the same to the left-wing Israeli newspaper Haaretz. An Israeli general tells the very controlled international press that he saw 40 babies beheaded, but does not allow them to look. Haaretz, an Israeli newspaper, reports that only one 10-month-old baby was killed. One. Other Israeli newspapers put the baby death toll at 0 to 3 babies. We are just supposed to uncritically accept what this Israeli general told us. That is the appeal to authority fallacy. We should be acutely aware of the use of the appeal to authority fallacy because it was used to set up the authoritarian police state in the world during the COVID pandemic.
Hey,
just
Mitch,
because
question.
Someone is in a... Yes.
Question,
yes,
please.
Go ahead.
I have never seen a more malignant, malevolent effort to spew lies and propaganda, will be polite here, than I see coming out of that brave little democracy in the Middle East, Israel. They lie like the day is long. Everything that comes out of their government should be put under a microscope of extreme suspicion. And I don't think I'm going overboard on this. And I suggest that to all of you.
No, you're not at all.
Go ahead. Thanks.
You're not at all. You're not at all because it's like you read one thing over here that they tell us, but when you hear them talk in their own country and look in their own media and press, they're saying something different. Okay? They're playing to two different audiences. So just because someone is an authority on something does not mean that they are telling the truth. So Israel shows film footage of the October 7th attack to Congress, and then congressmen tell us that it was horrible. In this age of effective film editing, Photoshop, and very realistic computer-generated imagery, what Israel showed Congress is not to be trusted. Most congressmen are very lackluster people with a superficial understanding of our world. They are very easy to fool. Why would we believe them? Look at our country. Congress has all the power in the world to stop insane open borders, rampant crime, and artificial fuel shortages that cause inflation, but does not. Why in God's name would we ever believe anything they say? They used a film to convince us that JFK was shot by a lone gunman, but not all the film. The Zapruder film was suppressed because it did not fit the official lie. 59 years later, the CIA admits that they killed Kennedy. 3 years ago, our lying government showed us selected film footage of the January 6, 2021 so-called insurrection. They showed what fit their bogus narrative of what they wanted to make us believe was an insurrection against the U.S. government, and what with much hyperbole they argued was just as bad as Pearl Harbor or 9/11 in our history. I've been complaining about the extremely poor quality of their lying for years. At the beginning of the year, Tucker Carlson got to review most of the actual footage and called the government narrative into doubt. Now Speaker Johnson has released even more, exposing the government narrative about the January 6th insurrection to be absolute bullshit. There is reason why Israel does not show the film to the general public. And it is not because it would traumatize us, but rather we could see through the bullshit. Anytime they show any film or photos to a wide audience, there's a chance that someone will detect the fraud. As Lincoln said, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but not all of the people all of the time. When you are being interrogated by the police, the more you say, the more likely they are to find inconsistencies in what you say. This is why you should say nothing at all if you want a good defense, especially if you're innocent. Look what happened when there was a time to review the films and photographs of the 9/11 attacks on the Twin Towers. Foremost was the fact that Tower 7 imploded just like Tower 1 and 2, yet no aircraft struck Tower 7, and it was across the street. Yeah. Combat engineers are all about demolition. When they showed these films at the Army War College to combat engineers, they saw the great and obvious inconsistency. They had to cancel future classes because you can't show this to demolition experts and have them naively just accept the bullshit narrative. Second was time-lapse photography. A film is a stream of individual photographs linked together. If you slow it down, it reveals so much more detail. In the case of the Twin Towers, slowing it down clearly reveals the systemic and timed progression of shaped charges detonating. In this case, cutting charges being detonated on each floor to intentionally bring down the towers in a very improbable, almost perfect implosion. The perfect implosion of the tallest buildings in America takes skill and planning as well as flawless execution. Go on YouTube and watch videos.
One other thing.
Yes.
Hold on. The William Rodriguez, known as the, quote, the last man out of the Twin Towers, whether he was or not, I don't know, but he was one of them. Maybe there were a couple more. I don't know. He was in the South Tower, I think. Anyway, William was a building super, a supervisor of a maintenance director, whatever. His job was to make sure the elevators and the stairs were working. That was his primary job. Well, he told me a number of things. And he said, one of the things, and I've forgotten which floor it was, so forgive me, but let's just say floor, the 25th floor, was off limits. His special key, his pass key, could not get that elevator to stop on the 25th floor. And the door to it and the stairwell was locked. And that floor produced strange sounds for months before. Obviously, that was the staging floor for the Israeli Mossad people who were involved with setting this whole building up. There were three primary, I believe, Israelis involved with that. And they've been identified. And they weren't the three dancing Israelis. There were three others. So anyway, it was a very, very obvious, blatant, profoundly clear, crystal clear demolition of a building. And Rodriguez said, there's no doubt. None. He could hear them moving things around and doing this and that and whatever. Anyway, sickening. All of it is just sickening.
Well, you know, anybody can go on YouTube and watch videos of tall buildings being demolished.
Anybody.
Most are not so clean. Look for yourself and always question what you are looking at. Compare and contrast with other like events. Don't be fooled again. As a cop, I was trained in arson investigations. What if I went to a house fire, but miraculously all the valued and irreplaceable family photographs and all the important documents were saved from the fire? That screams of a fire set for insurance fraud. What is difficult to replace items or irreplaceable items were conveniently in storage. That is not what happens in a truly accidental fire. Just because you can convince yourself of a why does not mean that you can convince others. So keep in mind that Tower 7 was across the street from Towers 1 and 2. The Rise of the building was to the west of it and the U.S. Post Office to the east. To the east of the Twin Towers was One Liberty Plaza, which housed many important financial and insurance companies like Goldman Sachs, NASDAQ, and even Fireman's Fund Insurance Company. Saving this was like saving the important documents. Most outstanding is that the Port Authority ran the Twin Towers and business renters office space was government subsidized, while all other tenants in the neighborhood businesses had to pay full market rent. They resented the lack of competition. They opposed the Twin Towers from the beginning. It was an obvious sacrificial lamb to the benefit of its neighbors. So just like any other arson, there was a very distinct financial motive, even more of a financial motive than was apparent. Hundreds of rich people shorted the airline industry just before 9/11 and made a fortune. They know who these people are, and they knew the attack was going to happen before it happened. But just like Jeffrey Epstein's client list, we will never know who these people are. After that, the CIA hired Jim Rickards to run predictive programming to detect future terrorist attacks by watching what was suddenly being shorted without apparent reason. Then consider the blow-off in this con game. The only disaster in American history where the taxpayers paid $1 million to the survivors of the victims was the Twin Towers disaster. The excuse is that the government did not want to have people suing the airlines because it was a vital U.S. industry. Interpretation. The government did not want any civil law suit trials against anyone because they did not want facts revealed in open court that would destroy their false narrative of events. That was the blow-off, the cover-up. All of this is classic propaganda. Manufacture a crisis and use hyperbole to make it seem far worse than it actually is. Another example. Israel says that they are bombing hospitals, mosques, churches, schools, residential neighborhoods, and even ambulances because that is where the Hamas terrorists are. A motive for this is that bombing these places is specifically outlawed by the laws of war. They also say that Hamas uses Palestinian civilians as human shields, so they must cut off water, electricity, food, and medical care to civilians in order to attack the terrorists. This is explicitly forbidden by the laws of war. Once again, their motive is to ethnically cleanse Eretz, Israel, of all Palestinians, or ethnically cleanse the Palestinians from land that Israel wants exclusively for the Jews. Consequently, it is in Israel's interest to manufacture facts that support this human shield narrative. Ask yourself, if you were the Israeli army, would you not want to place weapons and more materials in these hospitals, mosques, churches, and schools when you gain control of them to prove your assertions to the world?
Of course.
It's sickening.
Yeah. It's like setting up a stage for a movie shoot. It's all a con.
Oh, yeah.
It's an astounding con, all made possible by you, the American taxpayer. Right?
Yes.
Like it or not.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a U.S.-Israel war against the Palestinian people. It's a U.S.-Ukrainian war against the Russian people. That's what it is.
So inversely, if you were Hamas, would you not want to ensure that even if you did use these facilities for the implied purposes, wouldn't you not want to make sure that you removed all military equipment from these places before the Israeli forces captured them? Hamas has a propaganda capability also.
Yeah.
Okay? They're not stupid. I mean, they want us to believe they're stupid, but they're not stupid. They would move all that stuff out. They had plenty of time to move everything out before the Israeli troops got there. It'd be easy to do. Israel has a motive to plant these military weapons, and Hamas has a motive to ensure that no such equipment is left behind. Hamas can easily take them away, and Israel can easily plant them on scene. This is common sense. The very fact that Israel is finding them at these prohibited places makes it clear that they are planting or assaulting these places with what they want you to see. Their motive is to justify war crimes and crimes against humanity. Were in the basement rooms and tunnels under the Sifa hospital? Were there bunkers under there? Of course. How did Israel know? According to former Israeli President Ehud Barak, Israel built them. That's how they knew.
Yes.
On the day that the Israeli forces entered the hospital, the IDF put out propaganda that supposedly verified that Hamas had a headquarters there. It included a calendar with the names on it. The IDF commented that these were the names of the Hamas members that had to guard hostages on that day, as if the calendar was a schedule. The IDF said that these were dead men walking to indicate this calendar schedule would be used as a hit list. Yes, this would fool Westerners that do not read Arabic, but how sloppy. Many Arabs would see it, and there, in fact, are no one's names on it. It is just a calendar marking the day since the October 7th attack. The same stream showed a secret tunnel below the hospital. As soon as an electrician looks at it, they say that it is an electrical shaft. It's an obvious electrical shaft. What, Israel does not believe that we have electricians in America? Just because they are fooled by it doesn't mean that everyone else is. This is sloppy propaganda. I would say amateurish propaganda. Another great example of sloppy amateur propaganda is Joe Biden claiming that he is directly responsible for the current round of hostage releases. He has had National Security Spokesman John Kirby publicly praising Biden's leadership in the hostage negotiations. Congressmen have been crediting Biden for this. They even have the Israeli government crediting Biden for this. What is the motive? Biden's polls are way down, and they need an excuse for him winning in the next election. The world knows that Biden is a demented and disgusting old creepy pedophile, and so does Hamas. This is why Hamas did not release any American hostages on the first 2 days or today either of the ceasefire. On the third day, they released Abigail Eban, a four-year-old toddler, in spite of the old pedophile Biden. They have a human heart, unlike our demented old president who did not even want to recognize his own toddler granddaughter. They do not wish to dignify such a disgusting human being. Hamas held American hostages back precisely because the creepy old pedophile was trying to use them to make himself look good. On Sunday morning, the pedophile Biden claimed responsibility for the successful hostage releases, specifically including the release of 16 Thai nationals. Biden had absolutely nothing to do with the release of the Thais or the Filipino. That was worked out between Thailand and Iran in a separate deal. Yeah. On Sunday, Russian mail was released that was a deal directly between Russia and Hamas. The disgusting pedophile, Biden also claimed a great humanitarian victory for himself by arranging to allow 200 truckloads of supplies in on each day. Biden does not provide this aid. The United Nations does. Please keep in mind, this is nothing. There are 2 million people in the Gaza concentration camp. And before the war, it took 50,000 trucks per day to sustain the people there. 50,000 trucks.
Thank you for that statistic. I have not heard that.
200.
That's 200. Really an important. That's an important stat. I had no idea. 50,000 rigs a day coming in from either Lebanon or Egypt. Phenomenal. Yeah. How are you going to feed 2 million, 2.3 million people? These people are out of food. And the Jews allowed a little water to go in today to the northern half of Gaza, which they have pretty well, in their mind, severed from the southern half. They got a lot of very, very long days ahead. These fighters are good. They see, Israeli troops, psychologically, emotionally, mentally, are not ready to martyr themselves. Every Palestinian troop, virtually, is ready to martyr himself. They will die for their people. So this is going to be really quite a scene. Many more tanks are being brought in now to Gaza, I understand, from one story today. So Netanyahu has promised us all that as soon as the lull in combat is over, they're going to attack harder than ever. And that's what they've been doing. They've been using these 4 days, 5 days, to restock, resupply, get more American bunker busters blown in. See, the city, though, is a perfect venue now for defensive war on the part of the Palestinians. They can crawl through rubble all day long and never be seen, pop up, take out a tank, an APC. That's what they've been doing. We don't get to see much coverage of it because it's suppressed. But what we do have, I've read one or two pieces, and somebody wrote and said, but you've shown your bias. Come on, geez, this is crazy. Anyhow, it's, as you say, 100%, and it's going to get to be worse. There's no food for those people, no medical. Now, the Jews are hoping that cholera and other pandemics will break out. That's what they're hoping for. And they'll release whatever pathogen they need to get it going. That's what they do.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
No surprise there.
Anyways.
Go ahead, Mitch.
Yeah, our government really does think we are stupid. The most cringeworthy thing that he said was that he wished he could hug a little four-year-old Abigail Eden after she was released. I would trust her in the hands of Hamas any day before I would want this sick pedophile anywhere near her. America is besides the point. It no longer is the indispensable nation. America is the laughingstock of the world precisely because the immoral, corrupt, demented pedophile Biden is our leader and because our nation is run by a clique of disgusting Zionist Jews. Qatar, Iran, and Egypt are important. Thailand did not ask America for help. They asked Iran for help. Russia just asked Hamas directly and got results. We are officially a plague upon humanity, and everyone but us knows it. American propaganda concerning attacks on innocent civilians is always motivated by supporting our allies and attacking our enemies. We have the results in. In fact, Ukraine and Israel both have policies that support the direct targeted attack on civilians. Consider that in 1 year, in 9 months, the Russians have killed 9,614 civilians, including 554 children, while Israel has killed 14,800 civilians, including about 7,000 children, in the past 6 weeks. Unspoken is how many civilians Israel has killed in the West Bank since October 7th. That's 229, including 52 children. Yet, according to a recent poll, Americans believe that Russia is twice as bad as Israel about killing innocent civilians. So you can statistically see how off-kilter and how uninformed Americans are, how fooled they are. This disparity in understanding reality is appalling. If you try to research how many Russians civilians have been killed by Ukraine, it is very hard to get the numbers. We know that Ukraine had killed 14,000 Donbass civilians from 2014 until the special military operation began.
Correct.
But nowhere in the West can you find any mention of how many Donbass civilians have been killed since the war began. In Israel, official Israeli information says that 1,200 civilians were killed by Hamas on October 7th, including 33 children under 18. Keep that in mind. That's not 33 babies. That's like 17-year-olds, 15-year-olds, et cetera, et cetera. And 0 to 3 babies. That's official. However, Israel counts all the soldiers killed that day as innocent civilians. Just like COVID, they do all they can to inflate the numbers. During the hostage release this past weekend, we heard great detail about the first 26 Israelis released, but no detail about the 14 Thais and one Filipino. Are they not humans also? Are only Jews real humans? Stalin understood this process well when he said, one man's death is a tragedy, but a million men's death is a statistic.
Yep.
That's a little tongue-tier there.
Yeah, he did. That's what he said.
Moreover, Ukraine and Israel intentionally target journalists for execution. Israel has even killed a female American journalist in the West Bank without the U.S. government lodging a complaint. We always bitched about other nations killing journalists until our friends started doing it. It is just okay, for Zionist nations like Israel and Ukraine to assassinate journalists.
They're not our friends. They're our controllers.
Yep.
They are our controllers, and they've killed over 70 journalists now. They target them by their cell phone traffic. They locate them by they ping their phones. They know where they are, and they bomb the shit out of them. They kill them. They've killed over 70 already. It's all intentional. This is an evil, evil regime running that country, or whatever it is. This is the devil's own. The devil's own are running this thing. And it's horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it's horrible.
So, in other words, assess the purposes of the propaganda to tell whether it is propaganda. And then just, you know, if people just think, can I do that? Can I fake that? You know, if you look at a bunch of propaganda that way, you'll see, oh, yeah, I can fake that real easy, okay? Another way to assess if it is propaganda is by looking at the method. Did it appeal to your fear? Like Janet Yellen telling us that if we do not give Ukraine billions of more dollars, Russia will attack a NATO nation, and that will cost us more. Even NATO General Secretary, the lifelong Marxist Jens Stoltenberg, said that Russia is not going to attack NATO. Why, you have to ask, is the Zionist Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, weighing in on this? Because half the money that the U.S. sends to Ukraine is used to purchase U.S. Treasury bonds. Since the rest of the world is dumping U.S. debt, they have to have a buyer somewhere to artificially prop up the price of U.S. Treasury bonds. So the sanctions war by Russia, we have to spend money on our own treasury bonds, buying back our own treasury bonds, so that the sell-off doesn't crash our economy and crash our currency. Also, who can really believe that we must support Israel to attain world peace? Israel has robbed the world of peace since 1948 and has been almost the exclusive cause of world strife since 1991. In fact, the fastest way to achieve world peace would be the total defeat and extinction of the state of Israel. They are only critical to the profits of the military-industrial complex. Israel is, in fact, no way a vital interest of the United States. We only believe it because the terrible people that are in charge of us say so, almost without any explanation or justification. We hear that we must back Israel because if we don't, Iran will attack America. This is absurd. Iran does not want to conquer America, and if Israel did not exist, Iran, in fact, would have no problems with America at all. They try to imply that it is Israel standing between us and Iran when it is the U.S. inserting itself between Iran and Israel. We are the troublemakers. Fear is used to convince us to pay more taxes to build a Green New Deal and pay more for fuel to create inflation. This is meant to destroy us. Lenin said that the best way to destroy the middle class is to crush it between the millstones of taxation and inflation. Nothing makes life harder for the poor than inflation. It never allows the poor to catch a break. With every rise in wages, there is a corresponding rise in inflation. Maybe the Republicans do care about the rich, but the Democrats definitely do not care about the poor.
No.
Propaganda appears to fear, lust, greed, vanity, compassion, and naivety. Yes, even compassion. All of my life, there has been the American Cancer Society. I have to ask myself, with all the money that private individuals pay for cancer research, plus all of the virtue signaling rich people who donate to cancer research, plus all the taxpayer money that goes to cancer research, why are all cancer treatments so expensive to those who get cancer? Because cancer is a life and death matter, and those who get it can and will be extorted. At the back end, even more charity can be extorted to help pay for cancer treatments for the poor. Appeals to vanity are also a very effective propaganda tool. If you use this toothpaste, you will get married. If you buy this car, you will get this attractive woman. The vanity of celebrities is even used to sell as political and social goods. Somehow, because they are celebrities, they can pontificate on social and political issues. In our vanity, we want to be like them, so we emulate the vapid and mean things they think. Naivety makes you the mark of their con games. We want to believe that people are honest. When I worked in Laos, they had a saying, honest people are stupid. This was not an insult, because honest people are the salt of the earth, but it was meant to describe the victims of the unscrupulous rich merchants, landlords, and political class. They take advantage of your honesty. They demand you be honest, and they take advantage of it, because I assure you there's not a politician anywhere who's honest.
No, and let me tell you, Zionists look upon that very virtue as one of the biggest weaknesses in history. They exploit it. Morality, anything. Kindness is viewed as a weakness. We are opposing an enemy that is so diabolically evil that most people couldn't understand it if it were laid right out in front of them. They couldn't. I don't believe they could. Just don't.
The third component of propaganda is, does it put pressure on you? The threat has to be somewhat imminent so that you will take action, or at least internalize the fear. It creates the fear of being wrong also, okay? Always look at the evidence. Can you fake it? If you can fake it, so can they. Never buy into arguments from authority. If an authority says it, immediately doubt it. Immediately doubt it. They sold global warming by funding researchers who come to the desired conclusions. Only 3% of climatologists in 2010 agreed with the premises of global warming. The majority of climatologists, 97%, are therefore labeled climate deniers, and the 3% are recognized as the real climatologists. You see, the rich people that run our world get to decide who is or is not an authority. Money does not buy truth, it buys perjury. In other words, the ones who go along with the global warming climate change, the climatologists that go along with that, I remember when I was in college, because I have a bachelor's and master's in geography, like physical geography, climatology, meteorology. I studied all these things at graduate level. Okay, and what did we think back when I was going to school of the people who believed in global warming? We thought that they were conspiracy theorists. They were weirdos, okay? And the weirdos have become the accepted people because they have a product that people would buy. Because the 97% of the people who published papers that said that global warming is nonsense, they do not have a product that anybody wants to buy. And who buys them? Well, the rich clique of Zionists that run the world. They're the ones who buy this, you know? So.
Got it. Yeah. Mitch, when you talk to people who listen to you week in and week out here, what do they say about your analysis? Do you get any you have really good sources to begin with, but I mean, I'm wondering if you pick up any strays that happen to show up with some good data, because you do command a lot of respect out there. Are you getting any new sources?
Well, yes, I have been developing sources over the past few years and being on the show. We've had several excellent people approach me and stuff, and then even old people that I knew a long time ago that were in the government, they're even telling me, "Hey, you know, this is what I know." You know, they're admitting to me that they know these things. You know, it's just that see, when you work for the government, you sign non-disclosure agreements, so you're not supposed to talk about it, right? So, anyways.
Yeah. Well, good. That's good to hear. You have a very, very, very intelligent, wise audience worldwide, and this is good to hear. I'm not surprised. I'm glad to hear it, though. Very good. Good. This thing is.
I even have people from Japan, people from, I mean, people all over the world. You know, it's It's amazing.
You truly have a worldwide following because they know you're going to get nothing but the truth from Mitch Henderson. He's not going to get any crap. He lays it right out. So this is good. Let's back up. Some people, some strategists, military tacticians are saying that Hamas really is going to take a terrible toll on the IDF before this is over. I don't see any other way. Qasim, Al-Qasim rockets, 155 millimeter that they fire, they look like an RPG, but they're bigger. They built those there domestically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They made their own damn weapons.
Oh, yeah.
And then when you have a courage beyond measure holding onto one of those things, standing right out in the middle of a street, taking a bead on a tank, I don't see Israelis doing that. So I think that the Israelis are going to, I think they've already suffered 400 to 500 dead. That's my best guess. I don't know where you are on it, but that's mine. And I think they're going to suffer a lot more.
I think we'll never know. The Israel's not going to do it.
That's correct.
I have people from inside Israel who have sent me information that they're putting dead bodies on ice and hiding them away.
Uh-huh.
Because they don't want people to know how many people are dying there.
And
these people, they're telling me they're getting this information. They tell me who they're getting the information from. It's extremely credible information. Okay.
Right.
But there's also the thing of when you're there. Okay, it's like the guy who runs the morgue. Guess what? He has friends and he has relatives. Okay, so when you do something outlandish like this, is he going to tell his friends and relatives what's going on? Sure, he will. He'll tell them. Don't tell anybody else. But mm-hmm. that means, of course, they will tell somebody else. But,
yes, they do.
But the information will get out. It's hard to hide things. But you can tell by the quality of the propaganda that they just expect you to believe it. And most people do believe it. I mean, it's like how many times they were saying a year ago that Biden had only a 30% approval rating, and they said, well, those were the people that are in the mental asylums, okay? But now all of a sudden everything's so much worse for Biden, and his approval rating is 40%. We're not supposed to remember that when things were more favorable, it was 30%. And now when he's supposed to be doing so much worse, it's 40%.
It's all lies.
They're trying to manipulate our perceptions. Yeah.
Right. It's all lies.
Yeah.
Just forget it.
Yeah.
It's all lies. Oh, man.
I mean, it's very real that if they want Joe Biden to be president again, I think they would make him president again just to show everybody that they can do it.
It might
and
be.
People
that kind
will be
of arrogance.
Stupid enough to buy it.
When you say make him president again,
people.
When you say make him president again, he hadn't been president the first time. He's illegal. He's unelected. We know that. And if they want to do it again and force him to the White House, I think they could do it. The American people are not going to stand up and reject it. They just won't. They don't have it anymore.
They will not do it. I mean, I over Thanksgiving, I talked to a lot of people. You're not supposed to talk politics and stuff like that, but I was actually talking to somebody about that's gotten the vaccinations, and they told me, oh, you have to. You're immoral if you don't get the vaccination because the COVID virus actually, you start infecting people with it before you even get sick with it. Okay, this is such nonsense. It is such nonsense. The coronavirus, people just listen. The coronavirus is a cold virus. How does a cold spread? A cold spreads because it makes you sneeze and cough, and then it spreads the germs, and then you cough into your hands, you touch something, then somebody else touches that thing, and that's how it
shedding.
Spreads. So when you get when you get the coronavirus, any coronavirus, any kind of coronavirus, when you get it, you cannot spread it until you get sick. That is the mechanism of transmission. That's how you transmit it. But they have people actually believing that you can spread this virus before you even have any symptoms at all. Okay? Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's like we're supposed to forget about hundreds of years of medical science and biological knowledge and stuff. We're supposed to just forget about that, suspend our belief in common sense and believe that's how it is. How would this germ spread if you don't spread it? How are you going to give it to somebody else if you do not spread it? You have to spread it.
Oh, exactly.
And the mechanism of spreading is by getting sick from it.
Yeah, we've lost our way. Well, no, I won't say that it's our fault. We've been led astray with intent, absolute intent.
That's because
and with,
we're
with technology
people.
That goes back to the 20s, Tavistock. This is old school. This is so easy for them to do. They took over the media. They own the media. Most people look at the media, and that becomes their reality to a substantial, if not overwhelming, degree. And those people who are lost and walking around the alt news looking for the truth and being waylaid and misled and lied to there, it's where's the safe haven for reality, for truth? Very difficult to find any.
Yeah. I mean,
you bring
it's
it
just
here.
Incredulous. Yes, it's so incredulous. It's like Joe Biden is the one who made the four-day ceasefire happen. Joe Biden did that. Let me assure you,
right.
That happened
uh-huh.
in spite of Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Do you think just because people here think that somehow Joe Biden is a credible person, you know, if you looked at the APEC meeting in San Francisco, you could see on the faces of those Asian leaders that he disgusted them. They did not respect him. They wouldn't give him the time of day. The Saudi prince wouldn't give him the time of day. So why all of a sudden are they going to give him the time of day now?
No, he soiled the proceedings with his presence. He's a vile, despicable human being, and the world knows it.
Oh, yeah, they do know it. So the tell here is Joe Biden, oh, yeah, he's the American leader. He made this happen. So how many Americans did they let go? They only had three women and children, and to their credit, Hamas didn't hold that against the four-year-old little girl. I mean, they let her go, but that's just having a heart to let her go.
That's being a human,
okay, but,
human being. Yes, of course. They took excellent care of those people, far better care than the average Palestinian in Gaza could take care of him or herself. Those people got excellent food, fine care. They weren't abused in any way. Hamas is not stupid. Jeez, the whole thing is a mind boggle. All of it. How the press continues to treat people like they're cheap.
Well, you're just carrying the hostages, saying that they did bad things to them because
the Jews
I got information that from Israel that said that if you come back and you start saying nice things about Hamas,
you're
the government's going to shut you down.
Yeah,
you're going to have a problem.
Absolutely.
With the government.
That's right.
You know, it's like what happens at first is before they think, oh, we got to control this narrative and stuff. The first words get out and they're usually not what they want them to say. Okay.
No.
And then they sort of like encourage them to say the right thing later and stuff. Okay. So as the narrative evolves. That is when you're going to be hearing the lies. What you hear in the future about how they were treated, that was the lies. Because, see, when they get off the bus and the news people are just asking them, well, did they torture you and stuff? Well, they just tell the truth automatically. Well, no, you know, but you'll see that story change in the future. because we do that as a part of propaganda, too. I mean, look at the pipeline, the Nord Stream pipeline. Well, that was they had this ridiculous story after Seymour Hersh. He came out and he told the truth, okay? And let me tell you, everybody I know in the government and special forces and stuff say that Seymour Hersh's version is the true version. Any other version is nonsense. So they came out and they tried to say that this wiry old Ukrainian commando, he's like the Jason Bourne of the Ukrainians. Let me tell you where their Jason Bourne of Ukrainians is. He's in a jail in Ukraine. Okay, so he's not saying anything to anybody. But they tried to come out and say that he's the guy who did that operation. That is nonsense. This utter nonsense. So you got to keep hearing different stories all the time, because they're just gonna be feeling like, oh well, people aren't believing our nonsense, so we got to come out with a different version, okay? And each version they come out with is so lame, it's not funny, you know?
No, it's not. I concur. I don't know. They're going to get they're going to get a lot of trouble. The Israelis in there. They cannot stop those fighters from moving through the rubble that they've created. There's no way. We've seen enough videos that have been gotten somehow smuggled out or leaked out or broadcast, transmitted out over the net to show that those tanks are very vulnerable. In fact, right here on the program, Mitchell Henderson read and described how the Hamas fighters have determined to take out most easily the Israeli tanks. There's a method, and you've heard it right here.
Well, listen, I can tell you this isn't going to go good for Israel, and let me explain why. Okay, so right now, everything that Israel's doing, they don't have a right to defense. Okay, like if Lebanon and Syria and Iran and Iraq and Jordan and Egypt attack them, they have a right to self-defense. But they don't have a right to self-defense against the Palestinians. They have no right under international law. So this is moral force in war. So the Arab nations, the Muslim nations, they're allowing this to happen because every day they see tens of thousands of people out in the street protesting as they actually accomplish their ethnic cleansing. Because, right. See, all these countries are already talking about how many Palestinians they're going to take into their country. Okay, so this is going to happen, and all the Iran and Turkey, they're the ones to watch. What they're waiting for is they're waiting for the world to make up its mind that Israel is wrong, and then they're going to crush Israel like a bug. That is how this will go down.
Probably won't
Israel
need a hearing
will not
aid
win.
You won't need a hearing aid to hear the applause worldwide when that happens. World doesn't like Israel.
Oh, yeah.
Israel, whatever goodwill Israel may have had, is gone. Long gone. People are on to it.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, yep. Mitchell, thank you. That was another superb overview, and they're all great. And by all means, remember, you're listening, that on the homepage, look for Mitchell Henderson. All the programs are right there, and you can go listen again, pass them around, share them. That's what it's all about. Thank you, my friend. See you next week.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Mitch. Okay. We're really blessed to have the people here that we have on as regulars. Great people. Back tomorrow, 21 hours. Take good care, and thank you for being here.